Welcome to the Comic Zone.
What is happening, nerds?
Yeah.
This is the Comic Zone Podcast. We got DJ Nike in the building.
Yes, sir.
Aaron Lohman.
What's up?
In the house as well. And Bill.
The one and only.
And Bill.
What's up? What's going on?
Phoning
in. What's up, my fellow crackers?
Like I said, this is the Comic Zone Podcast. You can get this episode and all our episodes on thecomiczone.com. And anywhere else you get your podcasts. Today, we're going to be talking about the Netflix show.
Pluto.
Is it America? I mean, okay. Yeah, I think it is. It's based on a manga.
Yes.
So it is anime.
Which itself is based on.
Yeah, but we were talking about this today. and we'll get into that. But we were kind of talking about this on the last episode, getting ramped up for it. That I still haven't posted that one. I need to. Me and Nike got talking about this show. Actually, you told me I should watch it. Mm. So you were the kind of the first in the crew to watch it.
Yes, thank you for that.
You're welcome. Thank Netflix. Netflix pushed that one to me. You know what I mean? And my Netflix knows me well. Like, you know what I mean? My kids have their own.
Yeah, it was always on my recommended shit.
It was really bad for me. And bad is like as soon as I would open Netflix, it would start playing the commercial for it. Like for 2 weeks, and one day it was like a Sunday or Saturday. I was like, you know what? Nothing else I planned on watching right now. I got some time. Let's check it out. And it was way better than I ever would have imagined.
Right,
and it was different than what I imagined too.
Oh yeah, yeah, it's good. And you know, like, and what I was gonna say, I guess we'll get right into that before we start talking about the show. Is my first impressions of it just from the preview. Is like you see Adam,
and he looks like
Astro Boy to me, and just the way he's flying with the boots. And we were talking about this on the last episode where we thought I was like, oh, I thought it was like Astro Boy. Well, come to find out,
it's loosely
the show. This show is based on, it's like a retelling, but in a darker format, and as like a murder mystery, and then Adam. Isn't the main character. Our main character is
Gazit, yeah. Very German, which is also
well, he is a German. He is a German character. This show is
happening in Germany.
What's that?
It's set in Germany in certain places too.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, it goes all over the world, but this show is a retelling or an homage to Astro Boy and a specific storyline.
The
greatest robot on Earth, and it's a retelling of all that. And I didn't know that the first time I watched it through.
Well, I think they updated it because I think when it first started streaming, they did put on at least like on Wikipedia and on IMDb that it was based on the greatest.
Robot on Earth,
but they left out the Astro Boy thing. So if you didn't know that that was part of it, I don't think you would have picked up on it.
I didn't see that on the show. When I was watching the show, I didn't see it there. I just got curious.
Right. Well,
I started Googling shit.
Right.
And first of all, like, you know, the robot, it's like, I don't remember how to say it, the name, like, it's BREA, isn't it? That robot down in the subway that's got like the spear through it.
Yeah.
So I started looking him up because I was like, okay, so what did, who is this? Because
that
was
the one that killed the first human.
Right. Yeah. Well, I figured that. I thought there might be more backstory. You'd come to find out there's really not a lot.
Right.
And then so that came around and it kept popping up. Astro Boy shit,
right?
And what character in Astro Boy he was based on, and so like a lot of these characters are reimagined. They look different,
slightly,
some of them look completely different. So like Gazik, he wasn't like humanoid looking in Astro Boy. The robot with the spear through him, he looks completely different.
Right.
Like, and so.
But I mean, Adam looks almost exact. Like, we, that was well, our first
yeah,
thing.
He looks like a realer version of like. But,
I thought he looked like
what
Astro
caught,
Boy after.
What caught me
it.
Was just like. Like, I mean, obviously he's a, like a kid. And then, like, his hairstyle kind of resembles, you
even
know, the way
yellow,
the way
yeah.
It sticks out in places. And then what really had me going, oh, that is that Astro Boy, was the fact that he's got, like, the boot jets.
Right.
And that was, like, the first, like, seeing the previews before I ever watched
right.
it.
Right.
Was like, oh, that, like, reminds me of Astro Boy. And then, yeah, come to find out this second watch through that I did. Yeah, it's all based on that.
Yeah. And you know what? It's I didn't watch Astro Boy until like a year or two ago. Like I saw it when my kids were little, but like it was one of those ones I wasn't paying attention. I fell asleep through and I watched it about a year or two ago. So watching Pluto the second time, I did notice some of the likenesses, you know what mm-hmm. I mean, that were totally oblivious to me. And even the guy that wrote Pluto said a lot of people think that Astro Boy is a very kiddie story, but it's not like it's kind of deep when you think about it. Like I almost cried when I watched Astro Boy. Yeah, it's a very adult and sad story. But I mean, you know,
it even, can be. Yeah. I mean, but it's one of those that, like you said, you kind of catch it in passing. Like it would be the only times I've ever seen it was like on Boomerang or you know something like that. Like I caught a lot. Like I don't know, fucking 15 years ago, I think I saw. Caught an episode on it of it on Boomerang, and it was in black and white. And
right. Well, see, yeah, there's the episode, but there was a movie that came out. Let's see, my son turns 21 in 2 days, so.
Oh, the new one.
Yeah.
The newer movie.
Yeah,
right?
It was like 2005, something like that.
Wasn't Nick Cage a voice actor in that one?
Yeah, he played the dad.
Yeah.
Right. And also, you know, the you know that scientist?
Yeah.
That kind of works with.
Gazette.
Well, there's that older guy.
The one that with the big robot, that worked on the big robot.
Right.
I think that was what Nick's
well, it's like based on, like, so he looked familiar. A lot of these characters ended up looking familiar. And so when it was kind of satisfying.
Right.
To, like, read into this and go, oh, holy shit.
Yeah.
You know, even though I'm not, like, the biggest Astro Boy fan.
Right,
it's kind of cool that I picked up on it. Like, I mean, you could easily.
Yeah, it was very
because
obvious.
They don't make it too obvious. I don't think it's overly obvious because, like, you could easily watch that and just never put it together.
But I mean, true from watching it, like, because we probably forgot after we, you know what I'm saying. But like, just from the trailers, it definitely gives off those vibes.
Right. Well, I think yeah, Adam.
But the storyline's a lot more adult, and then once you get into the fact that you know it revolves more around Gazette, you kind of forget that.
Right. And you know, and like all the things that he's doing in this show, and what's his name, I wonder if I can pronounce it.
I definitely like
Naoki Urasawa.
Professor Urasawa?
No
the oh. guy that
the
wrote
guy
it.
That wrote
oh.
it. So he did that. He did a manga and then like they turned it into this show, and it's like I wonder how close the show is to the manga.
Pretty close.
Like, so if you...
Yeah, it's really close. And matter of fact, he said...
It seems like it would be, because they didn't...
Drag it on.
They didn't skimp on the, like, time.
Mm-hmm.
It's like each episode's an hour. Mm-hmm. They really cover a lot of ground in, what is it, like, eight episodes,
yeah.
Yep.
You know, and it's, you know, it's a decently long show, and like I said, they don't... chop it up. It doesn't seem chopped up or
right.
like they're rushing. So I would imagine, yeah, it is like pretty damn close to the manga.
I will say Bill brought up something when we were first discussing it last week that I kind of missed, but it's definitely, I think, even the although, you know, it's a retelling of Astro Boy, I still think he took some inspiration from this, and that was...
What did you say, Bill? It was...
Blade Runner.
Yes.
And what you said something else, too.
Highlander. Just because he was going around executing all the top.
Right.
And I've only seen the first two episodes, but Blade Runner was definitely there also because He Was Dreaming and Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep is the book that inspired
right.
Blade Runner.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's a big...
So, and there was... Because he was dreaming, I think that was one of the more intriguing things, you know, in the first few episodes. It's like, what is he seeing? What is he remembering?
Well, and they are dreams, I guess you could call it that, but they're more repressed memories. Like memories that were supposed to be wiped from him. And
yeah, I wouldn't say repressed. They weren't trying to repress them. They more that they tried to remove them.
Isn't right. that what real dreams are anyway, or just memories of our subconscious, even though...
They can be. I think they can be, but also...
Not always. Yeah.
You know, me and Vanessa talk a lot about dreams, and we like to share our dreams and like try to figure out what they mean, you know what I mean? So if you dream of something specific and just try to look up what the meaning of that thing is, you know what I mean? Because, but as far as like, we keep saying is Gazette.
I thought it was Gazette.
But, I think, yeah, his were more, memories that they tried to remove or replace with that phony, vacation that him and his wife supposedly took. And then they kind of figured it out. By looking at the old photos of their vacation, and they go...
Spoiler for you, Bill, since you haven't made it that far.
Right. Hit the spoiler button, Bill.
It's not ready.
Dwan, dwan, dwan.
We got a piece of it.
Was that it?
Yeah.
It's...
Didn't...
Oh, there we go. Okay. So,
I think cross cut.
By the way, this episode will have spoilers. We've already covered a couple things. Either way, we're not going to possibly be able to cover every single little thing about the show. Should definitely just go watch it. I mean, it's something because it's such a.
It's deep for one.
Well, right. It's a. Well, you would almost call it like a. Psychological like thriller
mm-hmm.
On top of being like a murder mystery and by the way before I forget, Bill, I saw that you're not the only one that picked up on the Blade Runner connection, like as I was looking googling stuff, that was one of the things that I picked up, is like you know, some critics and stuff were saying that. So, I mean, you're definitely not the only one to put together. I didn't see anybody saying the Highlander thing, but I see why you're saying that. But definitely the Blade Runner vibes, because it deals with, like we were saying, like AI becoming more and more human to the point you almost can't tell.
You had Isaac Asimov's Law of Robotics, too.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, it's a very prominent thing right from the get-go.
What is that?
The laws of robot, the three laws of robotics by Isaac Asimov. I always say his name wrong.
From what's this from?
Well, he's used it in a lot of it. Well, it was an iRobot for one, but
yeah.
It's in just about all of his.
Oh, the
his,
three laws, like as far as like a robot can't harm a human.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What are the three laws, though?
That it can't harm itself, and it can't do anything that could potentially harm a human.
And by inaction, not doing anything that would cause harm to a human. So if they saw a human was about to get hurt, then they'd have to intervene. As long, you know what I mean, and they have to preserve their own life as long as that doesn't harm a human.
Okay.
Or break the first two laws.
And I want to say those laws came out in the 60s, didn't they?
It was way before that.
How old is the iRobot story? Because that had to come.
Old.
That came from right.
Old. Like Isaac Asimov's been dead since before I was born. I believe.
You know, and so that's
a robot may not injure a human being mm-hmm. or thought through inaction or allow a human to come to harm. A robot must obey orders given to a human, except where it orders conflict with the first law. A robot must protect its own existence as long as the protection does not conflict with the first or second law.
There we go.
Okay. And that's basically,
they
laws
said that
are.
Early, like in the, like the first episode.
Well, they mention it a lot. Like yeah. That's a big
1942.
Right.
This is when it was published.
And so,
introduced. Run Around, the short story.
And they talk about, that's pretty much the basis of the show as far as them trying to figure out like how these robots are being killed. And also the people that are getting killed along the way as well. And because the big law is that no robot can like harm or kill a human. And, you know, so for, before we get too crazy far in, let's talk about, let's just kind of give our number on a scale of 1 to 10, what you feel about the show and just kind of your reasons why. I know, Bill, you're not completely done with it, but your first impressions, you go first.
I almost have to abstain because I've only seen two and I'm not sure if I rated it. I'm only giving it a 5.
Just because you...
all that, because it just didn't... It just took too long to get to the point. It just seemed to go on and it just kind of bored me. Hmm. And after two episodes, I'm not excited to go watch a third.
Oh, okay. That's interesting. I would have thought you would have liked it more.
I mean, everything on paper I like, but it's like, it's just like that. I have a hard time with things that are not American culture, honestly, as far as TV shows and movies, and just the style and presentation of anime is just very, it's not palatable. And it's very difficult for me to get into it and want to, you know, binge a show.
Do you think if it was live action, you would have a different opinion?
If it was told the same way, no. I think it was. I'd feel the same way.
I have a quick question though. Considering, what did you think of Blade Runner?
I really liked it. I think it was, the original.
Yeah, not the new one with Pretty Boy, the original.
But that was still kind of slow.
It was very slow, yeah.
Especially by today's standards.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as far as like watching it kind of fairly new. I mean, I don't think it was not in the theaters when I was watching movies, but you know, I think it was very impressionable, the ideas that it had. So I did like that. I thought the remake was terrible.
Okay. Aaron.
Well, I went kind of high on this one. I gave it a 9 because I love anything that has to do with robots, AI, especially in anime, due to the fact that, you know, most of these AIs that we saw in this, I thought were human for the most part until I realized that, that one's a robot. I didn't see that coming. The fact that they hid their weapons and all of that, you know, like, the wrestler and the other guy, I didn't realize at first that they were robots inside of a robot.
Yeah, yeah.
Which I really like because it crossed a couple of things. You know, you got their mech suits and then they're inside of them. And but yeah, I really enjoyed it. Just the way they brought it all together at the end. I want more, but I gave it a 9. I was thrilled. Just the voice, it had an all-star voice cast.
Yes, it did.
And one of my favorite voice actors was in there, the one that played the professor that created Adam.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of his name off the top of my head.
What is his name?
What else does he do?
He's in all kinds of different shit.
Most of them were, actually. Like, they, you know what I mean? They were in like 100.
I think he's probably the most recognizable.
Yeah, he's done bunch of American work. He's actually done actual movies, and I'm drawing a blank on his name.
Yeah, what is this fucking
But
name?
I hear his voice, and it's...
Yeah, you know,
he's the Allstate commercial guy,
yeah,
I think.
No.
Or not Allstate, but he did an insurance commercial for the longest time as well. And I can't think of his name.
He was in that show Future Man. That's the only thing I can think of right now. If you guys have seen that,
I saw a like a TikTok for it the other day, like, and I didn't want to see.
We're gonna 69.
Yeah, I saw that. I was
he's
like
we're gonna what? What's he gonna do in all this?
Yeah,
and he's like, I'm gonna 60. I'm going.
So
to
you
69
don't fuck
with,
it up. Yeah,
he's like, wait, what the fuck are we talking about?
Going back in time to 1969. Oh,
yeah, he was about ready to.
Yo, and that's
that show is so fucking funny.
I want to see it. Yo, that's the kid from the fucking Hunger Games movies and shit.
Yep, he was PETA or whatever his name was. That show is fucking hilarious.
I didn't know about it until I saw that, and I just saw that last week. So I was like, yo, I got to see that.
Yeah, we're gonna 69. He's like, what?
Right now?
Right now?
In front of him?
What's his part in all this? So
I'm
gonna
do it with you, so you don't fuck it up. Wait a minute, what?
So you don't fuck it up. Oh fuck! You should watch it, and then we should, bro. That
all right?
We could do a little part of an episode on.
I'll have to check that one out because I don't know if it's on any of the streaming services I have. Because that's why I hadn't watched it yet.
I can't remember what it was on when it first aired.
Yeah, it was only. I think it was only like three. Because I looked it up, it was only like three seasons.
I watched it probably 4 years ago when it came out, and I just remember I was sick. For a couple days, and I just started binging it, and I was fucking dying laughing.
Yeah, three seasons. What was it on? Oh shit! Oh, it's not on anything now. You have to pay for it.
Oh, probably on Amazon then.
Yeah, but you got to pay for it.
Yeah. But some bitches,
right?
It's a fucking great show. Like, so it's worth.
Yeah, I looked up the kid. Like, the
it's
cast.
Worth at least getting the first season.
Yeah, right.
And then if you like it. Like, keep going.
Yeah, there's only three, so fucking A.
I don't think I saw the third season. But yeah, watch that motherfucker. Aaron, you gave her a 9. Nike, what do you got?
I'm going to say this, and I'll probably catch flack for it from anybody who's listening. I'm giving it a 10. There was nothing wrong with that. For one, especially going into it, not thinking I was going to like it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So... I was hooked after the first episode, and I like how they kind of split it up into like a lot of, there were like two stories that were normally happening in each one. So like the first story, you know, you're learning about Gazech. You also get to see,
it's all one story, but they're, you know, it's all coming together slowly. Right.
So I like the way they did that. And it was just enough to get you to like each and every character or to be intrigued enough to find out what was going on. I like the whodunit. I also like how they kind of flipped so much of us growing up, the shit that we grew up with, like Terminator, you know what I mean? A lot of the movies were like, yo, anything AI is going to be bad. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And it's going to try and take over. And it's nice seeing, you know, the flip in basically the racism towards, and I
it's very X-Men-esque or like,
And I don't know if you've seen Code X. It's a Netflix movie. The second part just came out. It was kind of like that, where people with superpowers were very. It's X-Men-esque too.
I think my stepdad was just telling me about that.
It's really
the
good.
Other day.
I had to rewatch the first one because the second one came out. But it basically you get that whole. It's funny how I think it really speaks to realism of man. Like, there's always going to be some kind of prejudice, whether it's against people with other races, male versus female, robots, humans, you know what I mean? There's always going to be something, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think it adds a realism too. Like, there were times, like, by the time you get to like the third or the fourth episode, I forgot I was watching a cartoon, you know what I mean? I cried in a couple episodes too. Yeah. I'll definitely wholly admit to that shit. You know
I did
mean?
Too, in a few spots.
I think the soundtrack was dope too. Like the fact that they took the time to make music, like with the whole shit with the blind old man and North 42. Like, you don't see them doing that for. Hell, most TV shows don't even do that. You know what I mean? They'd rather go pay somebody or go, you know, YouTube. Find those generic songs to put in the background. Like, somebody took the time to play. Like, there's just so many levels, and I really appreciated it. And although I missed the what the hell's the name of that movie, Bill?
Blade Runner.
I missed that. As soon as you said it, it definitely gave off some very thick Blade Runner vibes. And
especially if you assume Harrison Ford is Android or is AI.
Well, you know what? As a kid, I didn't. I assumed he was human. And it wasn't until, and I didn't watch Blade Runner again until like 5-10 years ago. Like, yeah, I saw it as a kid, you know what I mean? And it was cool for what it was with like, it was steps ahead of sci-fi.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's up there with Star Wars for me for effects. If you go back and watch it now, you can see how they did a lot of that shit. But regardless.
Well, I remember watching some of Blade Runner recently and just like being like the opening sequence,
mm-hmm.
You know, as they're showing the city.
Right.
And just how good that looked.
Yeah, for 80s?
Like, it looked so fucking good. Like, yeah. It looks good. It's up to snuff still.
Yeah. So, I'm glad you brought that up too, Bill. Like, as a kid, I always assumed he was human. It wasn't until I watched it again as an adult that I was like...
Do you ever find out if he is AI or human?
The second movie definitely, without a doubt, says he is AI.
I like the first one when it left it to your own imagination.
Ambiguous, yeah. They left it ambiguous.
Is it one of them things that they should have just left good enough alone?
I think
Yeah. Well, and I think they make mention of it in the comic series, the comics for Blade Runner as well.
Well, yeah, Harrison Ford has been saying for like the last 30 years that, yes, he was a replicant is the term they use.
Yeah.
But, yeah, as a kid, I was like, yeah, he's a fucking human.
And I thought, but he was a badass as human.
I was like, oh, yeah, he's definitely a replicant.
So he's a robot hunting robots?
Mm-hmm. And like, I don't know. Just everything about this, I love this show. And it was, again, it was just as good the second time. You got to think, it was only like 3 months ago I saw it.
Yeah, it was about 2 or 3 months ago for me, and like, same thing. Like, I enjoyed it just as much, if not more, the second time through.
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to give it a 10, and that's because I can't literally think of anything bad or anything I didn't like about it at all. Trust me, I thought about it because I knew you were going to ask that. Mm-hmm. I can't think of anything I did not like about it.
I'm going to say I liked everything about it. I don't give a perfect on most things. You know, it's about 9, 9.5 as high as I go. But no, I loved it. It was, if you haven't watched it, ladies and gentlemen, go watch it. It's amazing.
Yes.
Right. I agree.
So what'd you give it?
I'd give it a 10 too.
Like, I seriously thought about, I tried to think about something like, is there any one thing wrong I can say about it? And for an anime, most of them are either their interpretations of Americans, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Or it's Japanese straight or some type of Asian. Like, I don't think I've seen another anime where they jumped around countries like that and that all the main characters weren't Japanese. Like,
right.
Fire Force, if you haven't watched that one,
I haven't.
It actually, a lot of their characters are English looking. There are some Japanese ones, but you know, they're all the worlds are combined a little, but it's actually a, you know, pretty good show.
You know, Evangelion does it.
I've tried to get on board with that.
I haven't watched that
one
either.
Saying, as far as like the representing other nationalities,
right?
So that one does it.
My Hero Academia,
Cowboy. Yeah, but that's like what he was saying. It's like their interpretation of what other nationalities are like, as opposed to like something like this.
Where it's
super accurate.
Oh, yeah.
Also, Cowboy Bebop does it.
I love Cowboy. Speaking of Cowboy Bebop, I got that shirt on.
there are a ton of nationality, because that's a movie about humanity, and not just like one culture.
Space Western.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, like I said, I would give it a 10 as well.
I'd be curious to see if Bill could make it through the whole thing. You know what I mean? To see, like, I don't see him giving it the same high marks we did. But I would really like to hear what you said after you finished it. Because I think it may be a little slow roasting for you right now. And I get that because you're not a big anime head anyway. But I think overall you'll end up liking this one.
Just based on, like, set aside the anime aesthetic, set aside.
And the aesthetics don't bother me.
The things that, you said, like, you don't necessarily dig, like, the anime.
Well, it's the storytelling, the slow.
Right. Well, it doesn't ever really, like, speed up, so maybe that wouldn't ever I mean, I guess it does. Like, once you start getting further and further in, they do spoon feed you information, though.
Yeah.
It's not like all at once.
But I think that's one of the reasons why I liked it, because it's not Dragon Ball. It's not Akira. It's
right,
not.
Right.
You know
it's
what I
mean?
It's more thought provoking.
It's a fucking cerebral. You really got to pay attention. Mm-hmm. You really got to. Because, like, you totally will miss something if you're scrolling through your phone or mm-hmm. doing something else, you're going to miss something somewhere. And as far as, like, me giving it a 10, though, I would have the opposite opinion. I do like the slower, like, creep towards what's going on. I like... the, like you said, the whodunit, the murder mystery aspect. I like the fact that every single character is really well fleshed out. Mm-hmm. They all have their own backstory. They all seem...
they have their own motivations.
Right. They all seem like somebody that you could possibly meet and talk to. And it's all very well hashed out, mm-hmm. in my opinion. Like you said, the music... and finding out that it's a retelling of a story that's already been told, and the fact that they could tell the same story, it gets to the basically the same conclusion, but it's told in a completely different light.
Mm-hmm.
I thought that was really, and in a much deeper light, like you said, thought-provoking light, and a more, it's more dark, and I'm sure the greatest robot on Earth?
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure that one was a lot more kitty and, like, quick, not nearly as deep.
It was definitely more quick. I read what he said about it, the author. And he said he read it at 4, which I find that hard to believe. I mean, he could be a genius and read it at 4. I shouldn't be judging. You know what I mean? But I can see...
4. Come on.
Yeah, that's what I said. But maybe he did.
It's
like Cat
Williams saying he reads 30 books in a week.
And fucking runs a fucking 40-yard
dash. He actually does. He did it.
There's
video of him doing it. He is fast as fuck.
All right.
But he was on Rogan pretty recent. And then he I guess in that interview he had with...
Shannon Sharp.
Yeah. He was talking about reading a bunch of books in a week when he was a kid, and he probably did. He's a smart guy, but he really doubled down on Joe Rogan and was saying he would read 30 books a week and sometimes reading 4 or 5 at the same time, and... like, they're all open, and he's reading them all. It's like, all right, calm down, Kit.
I don't say I barely can do that with comic books, let alone a book.
Right.
But again, we don't know either. You know what I mean? Like, it's easy for us to judge.
I'd say he's probably exaggerating.
But say, so, like, what he said was, and I thought about it, like I said, because I'd never read the book, but I know the animated movie, not the TV show, the Astro Boy movie is based on that Greatest Robot Ever Told. And watching it as an adult without having my kids around, it is still a kind of deep story. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Well, it's widely regarded the greatest story in Astro Boy, like, history. So, I mean, like, it's like the Dark Tournament saga and Yu Yu Hakusho and, like, you know, like those really deep arcs that people love over... any other in a show?
I will say they threw in the comedic aspects to make it good for kids, but the underlying story is still deep. And that's what he said. He was like, he told it in a different way, but he says he doesn't think his version is any more deeper than the original. He just added a couple more aspects to it. And
it's probably him being a little humble too.
And I don't blame him,
like, because he doesn't want to shit on because he's a huge
source
fan.
Material. Exactly.
He's a huge fan of that, and he doesn't want to shit on, you know, the original creator, mm-hmm. and all that, but I'd say he's probably being humble.
But yo, he also said he said if anybody were to do a story, he said I would highly advise against fucking doing a retelling of something else. He was like, because you're under a very thin microscope of fucking it up, especially something that well known. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I think he's got a point, because if you think about shit like we were talking about this before. Fuck. The one where they killed all the characters. They were based
Invincible.
On. Huh? Not Invincible. The other one. The live action one. But it's based on the Justice League.
Oh,
The what? The Boys?
No, the other one. Before Invincible, before The Boys. It starts with a W, I think.
Watchmen?
Yes, thank you. Holy fuck. Okay. So, like, The Watchmen, it's obviously based on the Justice League, you know what I mean? But DC was not going to let them kill off Batman, Superman, you know what I mean?
Right.
So they found old DC characters that they still own the rights
to. Well,
and
also that's such a fucked up story.
Yeah.
That maybe they weren't willing to make, you know, one of their characters like a rapist and all that.
They, well, for what Alan Scott, is that the guy that wrote it?
Alan Moore.
Alan Moore, thank you. He said it was more of them killing him, but regardless, yeah, you know DC didn't want them.
There's a lot of messed up shit going on.
The comedian was fucked up.
Regardless, I would understand how anytime you take somewhat liberties with someone else's story, like you have, if you don't do it well, you know what I mean? Because like when Invincible came out, when The Boys first came out, like it was one thing to see Watchmen. Watchmen has been, and not just the movie, even the comic, the graphic novel, that's one of those things that's been lauded over for years, you know what I mean? That made that guy's career. But I remember after the first episode of The Boys, I was like, all right, here we go again, you know what I mean? Killing off the Justice League or making them evil. And same thing with Invincible. It was like, here we go again. But after that initial episode, it's still good. It's something that's been done before. But if you can do it right, you can get away with doing it. And I think it's very hard when you're taking somebody else's idea and trying to do something with it. That's dangerous.
This is different because, like, the Watchmen, yeah, he would have been using those characters, but he wouldn't have been retelling a story.
All right, true.
So I think this is even deeper because he is taking an already existing story and retelling it in his own way, and that's even harder. That's even harder to do.
So, yeah, he basically told anybody that was a writer, he was like, yeah, I did it. Yeah, it was successful, but I would definitely, he said, I would never even do it again.
Yeah, it's a risk. It's a risk because then you risk people going, oh, you're
fucking it up.
Mm-hmm. Not just that, but being unoriginal or there's.
Well, it was like how we all felt when we first saw the first Iron Man hit the screen, you know, because we all read the books. We knew what we wanted to see, but then what we saw wasn't quite what, you know, was happening in the comics when we read them and everything. And so, yeah, some of us were a little upset with some of the little things, you know, and then Robert Downey going, I am Iron Man at the very end, you know, I know that upset a lot of people because
it was years before that happened. Yeah.
And for him to just out the gate, you know, but I got why they did that because it actually opened the door for the full MCU and it helped gather a new audience.
I would agree with that.
That's a lot like just doing, you know, what do they call that? Fuck, I can't think of the word. You know, when you start the comic over and do it.
Oh, reboot.
Well, not reboot. It's
retcon.
Retcon, yes. Thank you. So that's essentially what they did with, like, the MCU and stuff.
Well, when they first started doing the MCU, though, I think they ended up retconning themselves because a lot of the stuff they did was, like, a lot of that was the Ultimate Universe. And then as they went deeper with it, there's like,
they just started taking more and more liberties.
And that's why, you know what I mean, in the comic books now.
Once you have a base, though, like, you've established a base, it gets easier to do that because then you're just essentially creating your own kind of
version. Universe in their case.
Right. So,
I forgot where I was going. Go ahead.
Like, essentially, the MCU would be like just another part of the multiverse in comics.
I still wish they'd give it their own number.
If you were reading Me too. But if you were reading it in comic book form, you'd be like, oh, this is just an alternate universe. You know what I mean? Where things are different, same characters and whatnot, but things are being told a little differently. But this, I guess you could call Pluto a sort of retcon.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be a good word for it, I think, because it's a retelling of a story in a different way, and the characters are a little different, or in some cases a lot different.
And some of them are almost exactly the same, too, though.
Right. But so,
yeah, you know, I will also, props to us, I will say this has been one of the few where we've really not given too many spoilers along to as far as the story goes. Like, Bill could still watch it if he so chooses, and we haven't given away anything to the storyline.
I mean, there's some things I want to give away, but I won't just because I don't want to give those away.
Well, we're only 40 minutes in here, so we could talk. We could talk a little. We could talk a little deeper on it.
Well, I just, you know, it's like Adam's sister. She's one of my another one of the characters I really, really liked, right. And it took me a few to figure out who she was. Mm-hmm. And when I did, I was just like, oh, okay, all right, I like that. And then just, you know, kind of the way. And here's another spoiler: the way they would bounce Pluto from those different android bodies.
Yep.
That I like that take on it because it's like, ooh, you can put that AI into a different shell. And
but he was like, he was an AI, but still had like, he was still like a copy or whatever of an actual human's mind.
Yeah,
an exact copy almost.
Right. So, I mean, was it a copy or like, I never fully grasped on how he did that.
I felt that it was like one of the more original blueprints for the AI programs that they were using for their other AI robots. And that's why he had those conflicts that he was having.
Your cats are alcoholics.
I also, you know, I pretty much liked all the side characters.
Oh, hell yeah.
The wrestlers, his former partners, I really liked them. I didn't realize at first that they were androids as well, but, you know.
I started to suspect more, like, early on I didn't, but I mean, you still didn't know until they all out told you. You know what I mean?
What I thought was interesting is them calling them robots of mass destruction.
Yeah.
We'll have to see what they can do.
Right. Well, yeah, some of them. But when you think of a weapon of mass destruction, you're thinking of a nuclear bomb.
Not
or something.
Just a nuclear
And you can
bomb,
see how but, some of them are.
Right.
But like, because it. And it's like, how is he a robot of mass destruction? Like.
Well, we didn't figure that out.
Is it because of their capacity is like for like feelings, or is it?
I think it's due to the fact that if they wanted to, they could annihilate
armies.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough.
Because, and I think like, that's where they were getting the WMD from.
And like all of them except for Adam and what was the guy that
with the orphanage?
Right. What was his name?
I forgot.
But all of them were a part of that great robot war. And they were taking out, at one point, they're like doing a tally on how many robots
they
destroyed.
They killed,
And like the one guy, he destroyed like 3,000 something. The other two did like 2,000 something. And that's fucking nuts. Imagine if that was like human armies, they would just completely wipe out.
Well, and they were trying to touch on that fact with those androids having some of those same feelings that humans do.
Keith Silverstein.
It was what?
Keith. That was the one with the orphanage.
No, that wasn't his name. It was something else.
One in particular. Really,
oh no, that was my bad. Epsilon. That was the person that did his voice. My right. bad. Okay. Sorry.
So when that one robot, when they were having the flashback, was washing his hands in the water and saying, "I can't get it off."
Right. That was very realistic.
Right. He's trying to wash off the blood.
I don't know how you felt as a veteran, but the veterans I know that would have because
that's PTSD.
The things that they saw.
It's PTSD.
And I loved how they touched on that because it was like. An android is feeling what humans feel.
And they did that a lot. There were a lot of instances like that they were showing how the AI had grown to become more human. You know what I mean?
That was a lot of the point of the story, though. Like that was a major plot point in the story was emotion in these robots. And
hell, even
even when Gazit goes and he. Takes that the rope. You remember the robot,
the memory chip, the one that looked
and he takes it to the
wife,
the robot's wife, and he puts the memory.
Cool. Yo, and did wait, hold it. Didn't that wife look
and
like
she's like she's crying but can't
cry? Or,
show
yeah.
it,
yeah.
But like she's feeling that grief,
yeah.
And but they also show during the war, and when that guy, that whole town gets bombed or whatever, and it ends up killing that guy's baby. And because it just doesn't understand the emotion. And he's just deadpan. Like the guy's like, how do you, what does he say to him? He asks him how can you just stand there and not care or whatever? He goes, because I'm a robot.
But see, that was early on.
And
you know what I mean?
He doesn't understand it.
But it shows they're learning.
Until him and his wife adopt that robot kid. Mm-hmm. And that guy ends up killing the kid.
Spoiler.
And he fucking murders that guy out of rage and grief and anger and... and that's, that's when they get rid of his memories to try to reset that. But
yo, before we forget that, that wife robot was based off of the robot from the Jetsons. The Jetsons.
Was that the maid?
Yeah. that was on purpose.
I thought she looked roughly familiar. Rosie.
Rosie.
Meet George Jackson. But yeah, they made her look like Rosie on purpose.
That's tight.
That's awesome. I thought I recognized her form and everything, but I couldn't place it until you mentioned that. That's awesome.
That is interesting because we've had this conversation before. We've done episodes on AI and talking about once AI reaches a certain level, does it develop emotion? And what is emotion? It's a chemical reaction in your mind.
That's an iRobot, too.
In your brain. And it's how at first you go, oh, that could never happen because it's a mechanical thing. But really, our own bodies are a machine.
Yeah.
In those chemical reactions, but you could still have similar reactions in something that isn't.
They're still they're still learned behaviors.
Organic, so
yeah,
right,
because you would, yeah, that, like that's it's like the, teaching a kid to be racist. A kid, any child, isn't going to be racist. They have to be taught that. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, and same way, you have to taught to be compassionate, or you have to be taught not to touch something that's hot. Like a robot could theoretically, we can't say factually.
Well, AI.
AI theoretically could, you know what I mean?
Eventually learn emotion and become emotional and react in emotional ways.
Which brings it...
especially since they would be getting all their information in the world based on...
human interaction.
Observing us.
Yeah.
Because we're their creator and it's here on Earth... It's so how would an AI develop out in space, on another planet, without human interaction? You know what I mean?
It'd be a job. You know what I mean? Yeah. Early on, because versus how he was later on down the line.
Right. I like the fact that they had him eating human food.
Just to appear more human. Mm-hmm.
But that's the first time I've ever, in most, outside of Data in Star Trek, I have... not really seen too many AIs that consume human food, whether it be drink or actual food, because it will
fuck up their insides.
Yeah, because they're electronic. They have
unless they're made for that. Unless they're made for
that. But it's not touched on very often.
Because something like a robot, like, is it, he's more human, like, you would, like, something like him, you would make him to be more human. You might create a stomach for him where, and have him have taste buds and whatever, you know what I mean? There's different levels to.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But the fact that I don't see that in many.
Here's the point is, like, so the part where you're talking about. When, and we were talking about this already, when that's the part where he takes the wife, the memory chip.
Well, yeah.
And she offers him
tea. Yeah.
And they do mention.
It makes humans feel better.
Right. Yeah. It's just a practice that they're doing it. They don't have to do that.
But
right?
Then he goes to Adam, the wrestler. Yeah. Yeah. Well, when he's hanging out with the bigger wrestler, the red one.
I was thinking that too. I'm like, they're sitting there doing shots,
mm-hmm,
and drinking some alcohol, and his wife, what was his name? The Turkish one, Hercules,
and then
what was the other guy's name?
Oh, I can't think of it. But yeah, they sat at a dinner
table.
Yep,
and his wife tells him to take it easy because he's a lightweight.
Yeah,
so they can get drunk.
Brando,
yeah, Brando.
They can get drunk.
Possible. Well, but and that's that whole aspect from that takes off of from Blade Runner, because he was affected by drugs and alcohol,
and he sat there and ate as well.
Mm-hmm.
But that would be based on just how advanced their bodies are. You know what I mean? You could put those kind of things into that body, but maybe a lesser robot wouldn't be affected by that.
Well, see, in Blade Runner, they were replicants, so they were robots, but they were organic. They were more organic, you know what
right.
I mean?
Right, and I want, and
well, it's the same with Data in Star Trek. Yes, he was a full-blown android.
He slowly becomes more and more.
But even in the earlier episodes, he could drink the alcoholic beverages. He could eat with them to show that he was trying to be more human.
Yeah,
yeah. It just based on his, you know, his the way he was built, it didn't actually affect his programming because none of the hardware that would keep him going was down there. So yeah, he could ingest that and then compute what it's supposed to taste like, you know, what he's seen, mm-hmm, red and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, I like seeing that in different things where you see the progression of
it's
the
those
artificial
little details that make this such a great show.
Yeah, because yeah, like, when you think about it,
you
like,
could easily gloss over that.
Yeah,
and just, like, not go there, but he didn't shy away from much when it comes to this show at all.
Think about how many humans Gazette actively that he didn't tell he was a robot at first, and they were actually shocked. You know what I'm saying? Or people that never even knew he was one. Like,
yeah, well, and it took me a few. I think into about halfway through the second episode is when I kind of started thinking that, you know, well, like when he went and met the wife, that's when I realized he was a robot, because I was just like, maybe he has some cybernetic parts. You know, he's human.
Right.
They were talking about the war. There was humans
said
war.
I kind of picked up on him being a robot in the first episode.
Yeah, well, see, he hasn't rewatched it
yet. The end line, he said he was a robot.
Yeah.
That was the end of the first episode.
Well, yeah, but I mean, like, through that, it was just because of the way he acted and interacted with the humans. I didn't realize that until the end of it and everything, and it was like,
well, yeah,
he was even having coffee with his wife and stuff. And
yeah, I don't think you're supposed to know right away.
Yeah,
but I kind of picked up on it pretty quick.
Well, and I wasn't sure if he was human with cybernetic implants.
That's what because the whole gun thing made me think cybernetics.
Yeah,
but it wasn't like, I remember when he went to go see the
like
robot
he
impaled.
Was a cyborg,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah, he was like, yeah, I'm a robot.
I could see how you could assume that for sure.
Because yeah, you know, it's the opening scene that you see Gazette. He's sitting at home with his wife.
He wakes up. That's the first thing.
Yeah.
He was having a dream.
Yeah,
he woke up.
Yeah,
and then he's sitting there having breakfast.
And he's about to go eat breakfast with his wife. But then he goes to the lab and they're like doing running tests and talking about the fucking dreams.
But there was a lot that happened in between. Like, I binged them in 2 days, so I remember. You know what I mean? So there was a lot that happened between the time that he woke up and when they plugged him in, because he went to the human because he got the call. But even then, I was still thinking maybe it was cybernetics. You know what I mean?
Or just an earpiece, you know, because it's futuristic.
Yeah. So he got the call to go see the and this was after the big robot got killed. So there was a human that was killed, and he showed up there. And then they went to the one on the street where the cops had gotten harassed.
Yeah.
And then he chased down the human that was on drugs, and that's when he did the thing with his gun. Like, it wasn't until he went to go see the one that was impaled where they were like, oh, shit. The one guy was
that
like,
was one of my favorite parts, and I'm not entirely sure why.
I liked how that robot was particularly in the basement of this maximum security prison.
It's
because
they were scared of him.
Well, yeah, but he's got a, you know, he's all beat up.
All they
had
to do was pull the spear.
But that also shows the difference. Like, he said that the humans were so scared of him that they couldn't even unplug him because they couldn't figure out why he had killed a human to begin with.
Yeah, I took it as they kept him alive because they wanted to understand.
Yeah, and that, like, yeah, that's exactly why they did.
And I thought
the easy thing would have been to kill him, but they really wanted to know why.
That part really had like Hannibal Lecter vibes.
Yeah, it did.
Like Silence of the Lambs, like Clarice going and talking to Hannibal, and like him giving his insight. And I mean, that was so much like that, and I loved that part so much. That's why I started going down the rabbit hole on Google, because I was like, I wanted to know more about him, and just whoever they had doing his voice acting was off the fucking hook.
Yeah, I couldn't find the English ones. I was finding was Japanese.
But that part in particular, those are some of my favorite parts when they go talk to him. And then, like, his part in later shit when he throws the spear and takes out that supercomputer and shit, like, so dope.
Damn, even his English voice was done. His American voice said it was done by an Asian. Sung Woo Chow.
Yeah, he was awesome.
That's crazy.
One of my favorite characters, and you see him rarely, but I really thought he was great. You know what I mean?
Which one?
The, what is it? Bree?
Brow? It's B-R-A-U, and then it's a number. 1589.
1-15, yeah, I thought it was 15. I was going to say 1598, but
yeah, Brow 1589.
Yeah, he was badass. And it's like, how cool would it be to see him fully functional?
I think that would have been scary.
Yeah, he was cool. Yeah.
I mean, you saw how badly damaged he was. And
only one arm worked.
Yeah.
And the fact that he had that spear stuck right straight through his processing.
To the wall. And they still had him down there. With like,
and stuck. Yeah. Imagine, like, so what got me is like he's just stuck sitting there, right? He can't move, he can't do shit, nobody's interacting with him. Like, can an AI go mad?
Just I mean, I think they could power down long enough to, like, you know, go into a sleep mode like a computer does.
Yeah, but I still think he was able to access regular TV. Because he knew what was going on in the world.
Yeah, but still, imagine you're locked in a room when you can't move and all you can do is watch TV. Or you can surf the internet. Like, you would go crazy.
As a human, yes. But I think
that's my question is, like, based on how they can have emotion, and it seems like he has emotion. Well, he's laughing.
He did tell him to go ahead and pull the spear out of him.
Yeah.
So who's to say that he's not ready to have that?
Oh, sure. I'm sure he's ready to die, but I'm just wondering, like, how much crazier did that make him?
I assumed, like, from how he was talking to Gazette, I'm just going to call him G, so we don't got to worry about fucking up his name anymore.
Right.
But I got the feeling that even though he's only able to see, like, it was like kind of like with Ultron, you know what I mean?
Right, yeah.
He was connected with the internet, so he couldn't physically do anything, but he could literally see what was going on.
That's fair.
Everywhere.
Well, it also looked to me as if they built that prison around him.
Right.
You know, it's like they had and stuck him to that spot with that spear, they just built everything
and
around him.
I was just so curious, like, what was that fight like? How did the spear get in him? Like, what?
I was kind of wondering.
Like, how did that all go down? Like, I want to know bad.
I kind of got they never said it, but I always felt like it was one of the seven that had done that to him.
100%.
It had to have been.
100%.
Because, you know, it
had to be.
Yeah,
one of the other robots, but like,
because he knew instantly what G was.
Okay, so it's like a fucking javelin, right? Like, not a javelin, but
spear.
Yeah. Well, what do you
the knights
a jousting?
Yeah,
spear, whatever you call those. It was kind of like that. So
that's exactly what it
was. I wonder if that was his weapon or like one of like Hercules or or one of the other guys got him. Or maybe it was like a team up effort or some shit.
I mean, hell, it could have been some humans that launched it out of a projectile.
I think that'd be real hard for a human to do that to him. The way they were talking about his power level.
Yeah, but I mean, I'm not saying he wasn't in fighting with the seven, but who's to say there wasn't humans fighting alongside them?
Possibility.
And they got him beat up enough that
I think humans
launched the spear.
I think in a fight like that, humans would just get in the way.
Not necessarily, you
100%.
If you're on the sidelines waiting up in a plane, flying overhead or even in a sub underwater, it's one of those, who knows how it actually got there. I mean, I can speculate all day long.
Yeah, that's a good point. We have no idea.
That's the point is we don't know.
But I'd like to know.
The mystery kind of makes it better, but also I want to know.
Yeah, because I mean, we could fit,
I want to see how that fight went down. But that wasn't the point of the story.
It wasn't.
That wasn't the point, and that would have just added more
levels,
like convoluted it more.
That's something that we probably would get in a manga, more than likely.
Maybe.
I don't think so, because like even as I was going down the rabbit hole, you don't get much information. It's like a paragraph. It's like a paragraph of, just basic information about him. And they don't say how he got there, like how that fight went down. They just say he was the first robot to kill a human, and they kind of leave it at that.
Yeah, but it does make for an interesting conversation to have see what everybody else would think on how he got there.
Right. He's one of my favorite characters for sure, and I just... Bill, did you end up seeing... That's in the first episode, isn't it?
Which part now?
The robot that's down in like the prison with the spear stuck in him. You saw that?
Yeah.
Yeah, that. What did you think of him?
It's pretty interesting, yeah, because it broke the Isaac Asimov law of robotics.
Right.
But yeah, that they couldn't find a flaw in his AI. What I wondered, is the little kid robot later was kind of shocked that, he was the first to kind of kill a human.
Mm.
I kind of wondered if he had a more mischievous past.
The kid or?
Yeah, the kid. The kid robot. That was in episode two. Yeah.
I don't think he ever killed anyone.
Because he was in the robot wars. They alluded to it.
What, Adam was?
Yeah,
they kind of alluded, but
I wasn't sure if he was or not. I didn't pick that part up, so I must have missed them talking about that.
Well, I kind of, they didn't fully show him being in the war like they did with some of the others, but they did make mention that, he was there when it all went down and everything. Mm-hmm. And so with the firepower that he was packing, I wouldn't be surprised.
Adam was badass.
Yeah. And even after you mentioned that, that he reminded you of Astro, I could see that in the way he fought, the firepower that he had. And then when we see him sitting there with Temina, and he's asking him questions about his day and everything, and he's like, well, that's not how my son would have reacted. It actually, after thinking about it,
right,
it's some of the same things we saw in Astro Boy.
Yep.
When he was sitting there. Talking to him as well, and knowing full well that it was the
that is the story of Astro Boy too, isn't it? Like his son died, and he recreated a robot.
Yeah,
that's messed up,
right?
Could you imagine?
No,
I could as not. A parent, like, I don't think I could do that.
Yeah, with my two boys sitting in the other room right now, it's like imagining a robot version of Logan, and God forbid him being gone. Yeah. But like. Just that would fucking fuck you up, dude.
I remember what, like I said, even when I saw Astro Boy as an adult and watched it, like even if it was very Frankenstein-esque, even if you had the power.
It's messed up.
Why would you do
because
that? Your memory is, that's what keeps them. You can't make a copy
of your
child.
Same thing. It would be the same thing as if you like cloned.
Yeah.
Because, everything is identical.
But right? it's not
But
them.
It's not them. Like, that's another person. Yep. Okay, so check this out.
I've always had an issue with that, too.
Ready Player Two touches on this.
I've never read
it. In a big way. It's good.
I've read the first book, but not the second one.
They figure out a way to, like, they come up with these new headsets where it puts you into, like, a coma type state.
Mm-hmm.
And it scans your mind.
Right.
And puts you in a coma type state. And you're actually there. It's not like having an Oculus on or whatever. You're like actually there. You can feel things, taste things.
Right.
All the shit. Later in the story, you find out that them scanning your mind and doing that makes a perfect copy of you. And eventually, like anybody who's been scanned, even if you're dead.
Right.
Like, say you die in the real world, they can resurrect you, and I'm doing this with quotations, they can resurrect you in the Oasis, and you can live forever that way.
They hinted on that in the movie.
But also, somebody who's still alive, and you have that copy of you in the Oasis, that you're only the same person at the point of conception.
Right. Yeah.
And after that you start having different experiences.
Exactly.
And you become two different people.
Exactly.
Even though you're the same person.
You're the same genetic info.
But your experiences make you who you are.
Exactly.
And you become two different versions. It's almost like a variance of the same person.
Or even an identical twin, if you want to take it that way, for genetic makeup, you know what I mean?
And that's kind of what he's saying when he's eating dinner with the robot version of his son. He's like, oh, my son wouldn't like this food. Oh, he wouldn't have got his homework done. He wouldn't have. And he's like, oh, I can start not doing stuff. And he's like, no, it's not the same thing. Like, and you would almost start to, like, I imagine in that situation you would start to hate that clone or that's what happens in
Astro Boy.
Yeah, well, and that's what happens with him, too. That's why he leaves this Ministry of Science, is because he's like, you know, this is so similar, but it's not him because it doesn't have the emotions to go with it. It only has the joy and...
Well, but then when Adam dies, he goes in and fixes him, and he's like, I once created a robot, a perfect robot, and he did it by making a culmination of thousands of minds.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he's like, he said it didn't wake up, or it never became conscious. And he wasn't sure if that was because it couldn't or it chose not to. Because
I want to say it was just pouring over the data.
It couldn't. Because at that point it could wake up a very kind
or empathetic demon,
or it could wake up and be a fucking psychopath.
You know how many times I had to watch that.
It's so good.
Yeah, because it leaves you thinking.
I've got a theory. That perfect robot he was discussing is the one that's pinned to the wall in that basement.
Could be.
It's a possibility.
No, but he said it never woke up. But it never woke up. So
but who's
the only time that actually worked was with Adam.
True. But, I mean, it could have woke up and did that, and then that's why he decided to go the route that he did.
That's a good point. Like, maybe that's why that one was able to commit murder and they couldn't find any defaults.
Reasoning. Because G actually had a reason.
Because they said they went over his AI, like Bill was saying. And they couldn't find anything wrong with
him. No flaws, no nothing.
They couldn't find any reason why he would have done that.
Yeah, because like G had a reason for why he did it, a very human reason.
Well,
yeah.
That was based on emotion, and I imagine it's the same. That's what they're getting at with, like, you could go over G's programming, and you probably wouldn't find any flaws. It'd probably be the same thing, other than...
I think you might.
I don't think you would.
I don't know if... Would you call it... All right. I don't know if it would be a programming flaw, but it's definitely. But I think
the point. I think that's the point. Is they were saying that to allude to the fact that, like, if you went over G, you wouldn't find any flaws because there aren't any. He's feeling emotion, and that he's having like human.
Yeah, that yeah. It's not a computer. That's not a programming flaw.
He's having a human experience. Because
in that flashback, they do. He does learn what sadness and despair are when they came across that bombing where the
I think that was his first encounter with that.
But he, as a robot, he was standing there studying it and watching it.
And he didn't understand until he lost his own kid.
Exactly, but that programming or that learning curve was already writing itself because you got to think AIs are, you know, rewriting their own code
That's a good point. Like it planted the seed.
Yeah.
That experience planted the seed.
And
he probably never forgot that. Well, definitely never did.
Well, yeah, they don't forget either.
They have total recall. So that was probably always on his mind. Always wanted to understand it.
But they were trying to keep that memory from...
But you can't understand it until it happens to you.
But see, exactly. Here's my I still won't look at it as a flaw, per se.
No, it's not. That's the point. It's not a flaw.
But my point being, it's still a reason. He had a reason. Bra didn't have a reason for why
that
he
did. That you know of.
All right,
yeah, they didn't explain
They never explain why...
But I mean, even
they don't ever
said,
tell
yeah.
you who he killed, why he killed...
But he doesn't even say why. Like, you know what I mean?
But that's true.
He didn't allude to any.
Maybe he just did it for fun.
That's the way I looked at it.
Even if you look at it like a serial killer's brain,
right?
Most of the time, when like you don't find
right
any kind of physical flaw in their brain, they just are wired that way.
All right. Here's my thing, and I'm glad you used "wired" as a term since we're talking about AI. I think Brow did it just to prove that he could.
Probably.
But because it broke.
It seems that way because he seems proud of it.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
because it doesn't seem like it broke his psyche
per se.
No, he just wanted to see if he could.
Yeah. If he could, because it meant he wasn't obeying the three laws of robotics.
Yeah.
When G did it, it was definite. It wasn't a matter of thinking. It was emotion.
So
I think Brow did it just to, let's see if I can break this rule.
So their learning and emotion can override like hard programming.
Well, and
just over the course of learning.
Yeah. Well, and I want to say that they learned the emotion because look at Epsilon. You know, he found all those human children afterwards being, you know, and then took them in and ran that orphanage.
Mm-hmm. I think.
And being a pacifist, not wanting to
fight. Yeah, and Epsilon's the polar opposite of that. Like, he's a empathetic, like, protector.
Mm-hmm.
And all his decisions were based off of emotion, too.
Yeah.
To abstain from going to war, taking in all those kids.
Exactly.
Especially since next to Adam, he was probably the most powerful.
I want to say and Adam were the most powerful.
There was some shit with G that we found out later.
Yeah. Don't want to give too many spoilers out there.
We've kind of given a bunch.
I know.
Adam's definitely physically powerful.
Yeah.
Epsilon was powerful in a different way. He had
energy presence.
Well, yeah, he had almost a UV spectrum style.
Kinetic. Yeah.
Because he would gather energy from the sun.
Yeah, he was the only one that I saw as a robot of mass destruction. Like when he blows up that fucking mountaintop, like and vaporized everyone.
Yeah.
Like and that's why, like, he's a good example of somebody who has power and is afraid to use it because he doesn't want to hurt anybody.
Well, I mean, even, and I love this character, and it hurt because he was the first one to go. but I really liked North, whatever his number was.
Oh, right, yeah.
You know what I mean?
He was bad motherfucker.
Yeah. And he seemed like he was the first one to show an emotion as far as, regret
and his interest in music.
He wanted to learn to better play the
piano.
He wanted to learn to create instead of kill.
Was literally a fucking weapon.
Yeah,
like, he was
a WMD.
Yeah,
that's all he was, as a weapon. And yeah, it's like having so much power that, and you know what you can do.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the fucking badass martial artist who doesn't fight because he knows even when you fuck with him, I'm not afraid to fight you because I think I'll lose. I'm afraid to fight you because
I'll fuck you to fuck
because,
up.
Yeah, because I don't
want to kill you or maim you.
Because I know what I can do.
Yeah.
And, you know, Epsilon was very much the same thing. Like, he knew he could fucking destroy millions of lives with ease.
Yeah.
And he chose to be a caretaker instead. And same thing with the, what was it, North what?
No, oh, I can't remember his number, but
yeah,
he was a butler for the blind guy,
right? Yeah, he chose.
And then blind guy treated him like shit.
Like too. Shit, yo,
that was such a sad fucking story.
But the redemption arc on that,
my god,
wow, that was great.
Like, he treated him like shit because he's a crotchety old bitter man,
yeah,
and eventually came to care for him,
mm-hmm.
and then he sacrifices his life to protect him. And it was just so sad because the way he cries.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? When, you know, he finally had the companionship that he always craved.
And then he lost
it. And then he lost it. And not only that, but that person sacrificed themselves to protect him, even though he was a fucking asshole.
But yeah, and then he even shared, you know what I'm saying? He shared that whole story because, like, he hated his mother. You know what I mean? He was like, yo, you didn't even realize because you couldn't see. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, why do you think I got all this shit? It's to fucking spite the world.
Yeah. And then
he's like, look, Mom, I got all the shit you always wanted. And then
come to find out,
it's not because...
Basically, his mom was hooking to, you know what I'm saying, so she could save his life.
Yeah, and his dad.
Yeah.
Right?
No, like, wasn't his dad. His dad was dead.
Well, yeah, he thought she never came to see him.
Yeah, and
she was literally there the whole time. Like, fuck, dude.
That was dope.
This dude, I'm telling you,
I just liked how he heard that hump, that melody that he was singing in his sleep.
Yep. That's why he took the time to do what he did. Because I was shocked that he actually left.
Yeah, and then he had the breakthrough to finish the composition, like finished the song.
That was so dope.
It's so fucking good.
Yeah.
Like, there's so many layers to this show.
Yes.
And I cried through a handful of those episodes.
I did too. I didn't
even remember. That part definitely made me cry.
Yeah.
Like, it's very touching, that whole fucking, just that little mini story arc.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, fuck, so good.
For a minute, I thought we were going to have a John Wick moment in there when Grandpa found that little robot puppy.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
That part was sad, too.
Yeah. It was. There were so many, like, for real, I forgot I was watching the cartoon. It was that deep.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, Grandpa spent all night trying to save that puppy, and the owner finally shows up, and it's like, thank you. And it was grabbed me by the feel goods.
I think that's the guy that represents, like, his...
That's the enemy. That was...
No, in Astro Boy, the scientist that's with Astro Boy.
His father's apprentice partner.
Right.
Because I want to say Dr. Temino was the... Nick Cage's character in Astro Boy.
That had the same name.
Yeah, that's why it was...
Tenma. Yeah. Same name.
So crazy.
Because if you look at them, they almost look identical to what they did in there. And
they look the same name. Some of them do, some of them don't. But yeah, Tenma. That's the same name, and that's why they look the same.
Well, because it's probably been maybe 2 or 3 years since I watched Astro Boy.
Was he black in
Astro
Boy?
No, he was white.
He was white.
No, not Astro Boy. The Tenma, isn't that the black guy?
Yeah.
So they changed his race?
And I think they did that to, you know, I don't know.
Well, I'm not worried about that. I'm just saying, like, he wasn't a black guy in Astro Boy.
No.
Okay. And I thought that was kind of weird. Like, he must have had a white wife or something then, because he said that was his copy of his son. But I'm like,
I didn't realize he was black. I just thought he was dark.
He's like, just because you call him Darren doesn't mean he belongs to Darren.
I'm sorry. That, so this is my first white baby.
Caucasian.
Yeah, he's from the mountains of Caucasus.
He has a credit score of 720 right now
as a baby. It's from this very stupid movie, Bill, but Cat Williams did steal that scene. You know what I mean?
It's so fucking funny.
Yeah, if you've never seen that scene, it's fucking hilarious.
It's just because you call him Darren doesn't mean he belongs to Darren.
That one belongs to me, yes. That
he said,
one,
he
no.
said maybe. He said that one, maybe.
That one, definitely no.
He was like, bitch, do you know what 17 years concurrent means?
Yeah. Right.
Having conjugal visits with the gods. Same glasses as the guard.
That movie is stupid.
What is the name of that movie? I forget.
School Day or something. It's the whole movie is very stupid.
Oh, yeah. And I've seen it. It's been a while.
Yeah,
but
that scene is the best scene in the movie by far.
Yeah.
It's so funny. Anyway, if you haven't seen Pluto, hopefully this get you excited to go watch it.
And let's hope they give us a second season because
they won't.
I don't.
They won't.
Yeah, is it going to be a one and done?
Yeah.
Ah, oh, damn it. That sucks.
But, sometimes that's good. Sometimes you need to.
Yeah, that is
true. You don't need to.
I want more. That's my selfishness.
To the end, that's another reason why I gave it a 10. When I got to the end, I was satisfied with the way it was. I thought they closed
it
out.
I thought it was over when G died.
So did I.
I thought that was the end of the show. Yeah. I was like, damn,
that's a fucked up way to end.
That's a fucked up ending. And then it just kept going. I was like, oh, okay.
Yeah, I was thankful.
And then the tone shifts.
Major.
It shifts away from the whodunit into like the end game.
I mean,
I was like, what the fuck? Like, I for sure thought that was the end of the show.
Yeah.
I mean, I did, it ended great, but
what was the doctor's name again?
Tenma or the other one?
When he goes and sees G's wife.
Oh, I forgot about that.
And she starts feeling emotion.
Mm-hmm.
And just fucking sobs.
Yep.
Like, what the fuck? Like, there's so much, like, such, it's so good.
Yeah.
Like, just the attention to detail on the characters themselves. And I just recently did an episode with the creator, writer, editor of the comic book series Immortalis.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about that. Like, I was asking him as a writer, we were talking about how a lot of times, like, yes, you can have a great, like, overarching story, but when you have hyper-detailed, deep characters that create these interactions, you know, those can be even better sometimes than the overarching story or lend to the overarching story in a way that if you had flat, one-dimensional bad guys that are just evil for being evil, just for that sake, and you know, but the interactions, like, and you would have never seen that interaction happening, but it's like one of the most standout scenes in the whole show.
Yeah,
when she's like, what? Like, and she actually starts crying tears.
Yeah,
and like basically becomes human, and that's really what this show's about.
Yeah,
is like AI becoming more than just a robot.
And that's why I brought it up after we saw The Creator. Because I was like, there have been two films that came out, or two series. Well, one was a movie, that actually made me care. Especially from, like I said, from where we came from with AI just being that's what's going to end humanity. And it was like, yo, I'm crying for the robots. You know what I'm saying?
Well, it just shows that that's not necessarily how it happened. Maybe we would be the threat to. And that would be the struggle, is like us coming to terms with that's a new life form. Like, and we need to treat them as such and not just as a tool.
So I
think that's a lot of what would be the issue. It's like a lot of people would struggle.
Well, you think about it. There's an iRobot, and this isn't in the book, at least let me rephrase. It's not. Well, because it was written in the 1940s, like Bill said. But there's a scene early on in the iRobot movie with Will Smith where he's talking to the robot, Sonny, which is also a hilarious thing later on. That
one of the things that can't be taught. Because he was like, the chick was like, Sonny. He was like, you're calling the robot Sonny? And it's not rated R, so you can get away with one fuck per movie. And there was a point where he was like, I didn't give a... The robot said it was saying it was just the way he did it. It was a very realistic moment. I was like,
I remember that's acting.
Yeah, you know what I mean? That shit is funny to me every time. But anyway, the first time when the first interaction with Will Smith's character and the robot, which was played by Boy from Resident Alien. And
Alan Tudyk.
Yeah. He says, he's like, so I think the reason you murdered him was because he was trying to teach you emotions. And he's like, but anger is not a good emotion to teach a robot. He was like, I wouldn't like it if my toaster or my microwave got angry. And then he hit, I did not murder him. That, you know what I'm saying? That was one of those.
When he dents the table.
But that was just such a dope moment.
Because he's just trying to pull that anger out to prove it's there.
Yeah. And you know what I mean? That was a very realistic moment. You know what I mean? And I think that's how most people would be like, my toaster doesn't have feelings, so why is this robot that's just cleaning my house? Like, if you're Roomba, like that's
or just struggle with the accepting it.
As something with feelings. Yeah.
Right. You're created. Like, oh, it's just fucking program. Like, you could... Just on and on, you would have.
Well, and
that.
I think that's where the human race is going to, and AI is going to come to a standstill and butt heads, is because of the fact that we already have the racial prejudicial problems that we have as humans. We are going to look at these creatures and treat them worse than we've treated our own selves. And then that's how we're going to get Skynet and some of the other things.
I just hope I die before that fucking shit happens.
Me too, because I don't want to be a part of it, because I've seen the movies and. I don't want to die in a robot revolution.
That's just our own fear talking.
That
doesn't mean that's what will happen.
No, but you know, we're joking.
Because at our core, we know we'd be fucked up in that situation.
But here's the other thing.
It's like, at any time, it's always a story of them lashing out at us because of the way we treated them.
Well, I mean, even The Matrix, like, all of that shit is, you know what I'm saying? It's the way we...
It's because at our core, we know we're being fucked up.
Yeah. But here's my thing. Like I said, I joke about shit like that. I don't think in our lifetime, if it ever happens anyway, and you know what I mean? The main term in science fiction is still fiction.
Exactly.
So... Who's to say if AI ever becomes aware, self-aware, or even gets emotions to begin with? We're all speaking in fictitious, hypothetical situations to begin with. You know what I mean? But like what we were saying before we started recording, though, even with my job, with worrying about algorithms and AI automatic writing, you know what I mean? Even if it's not a big thing now, I remember my thought when my boss said that today, like, this is step one. You know what I mean? And it was a fleeting thought, and I didn't say it out loud, but it was like, you know what I mean? Even when you start watching shit, again, I'm always going to bring it back to Terminator because it's my first thing of something bad happening. It was like, yeah, this is the way it started. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm.
And if they name it Skynet, I don't want nothing to do with it.
But yeah, definitely. I'd say watch Pluto, watch The Creator. Doesn't matter in which order you watch them in, but watch both of those.
They're both great.
They're both. Those are two of the best shows, movies I've seen in the last year. Especially the deal with AI.
And they're a great new take on that. Like, it's not the same old.
I like the take on both of them.
You know what else?
Facts.
You know, there's another one that we haven't mentioned that is similar is... Chappie,
you know what? The storyline wasn't as good as I wanted it to be. I think the effects were good.
I'm just saying, as far as like,
because you know what I compare Chappie to?
As like a robot becoming more human.
Yeah, I compare Chappie, and I don't know if this is on purpose or if this is, you know, it just had a coincidence. Chappie reminds me of Number Johnny Five.
Johnny Five, like in Short Circuit.
Yes. Short Circuit, yeah. You know what I mean?
No disassemble Johnny Five.
And I mean, it's a lot more serious, but yeah. I, like, the whole time I watched Chappie, I was like, yo, this is Short Circuit for 2000.
Yeah. You know, Wall-E gave me that same feel, the Disney movie Wall-E.
Yeah.
Because the way they made Wall-E, it was like, it reminded me of...
The head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
and the body.
I think he was meant to look like Johnny Five.
It wouldn't surprise me.
I think not that, at all. I think that was on purpose.
I can see that happening, but yeah, that again.
But yeah,
that.
I was probably halfway through Chappie before I figured, because they don't resemble that much. You know what I mean? I was like, but this storyline, it really reminds me. You know what I mean? And I really wanted to like that when I loved the actors, but I was the storyline is not nearly as deep. Yes, it's comparable, but it's not nearly as deep as Pluto or fucking the Creator.
Right.
And remember to give us your comments and your opinions in the comments section as well, because we'd love to hear from you.
Death. Right. As soon as we post this episode, we'd love to hear about what you thought of this, what you think, you know, if this is a good kind of representation on how this could play out in real life. I personally think it is. You know, I think it
I would definitely like to see that scenario. I think we're
years away from it.
No, yeah, sure. But I'm saying, like, as far as, like, the prejudice, the and all the things.
I mean, I think I would like to see that play out in real life the way Pluto did versus some of the things that we saw as kids, you know.
Well, because, I don't know, man, because, like, it might not be the end of humanity, but it's a lot of pain and suffering in another spot.
Honestly, I think it would help better humanity, because then we could achieve space travel, space flight.
Yeah, at the expense of a bunch of robots that actually have feelings when we think they don't.
Well, you know, if we treat them with respect, they won't kill us.
Yeah, but that's the point of this story, is we don't.
I know.
And here's the other thing.
Well, I mean, a lot of...
Why, yo, do I we mean, really... Do because, we... Do we? And this is me asking you guys. So this is... And I want honest... Do we want to be to the point? Like, I know... Because we're not actual scientists. We're not building. I know somewhere right now, there's a fucking scientist...
Super advanced AI.
No, I'm saying there's somebody that wants to make that. I'm saying...
I almost think there already is.
Well, beyond whether we think there is or not.
Because look at what we got to just play around
do
with.
Do right now, if it were to happen, would you want, like, if everybody could afford robots, would you want to have a robot that not simulated feelings, that actually had feelings?
I think.
Yeah, I would.
You would?
Yeah,
I definitely would not.
I don't know if I would.
If it was free thinking and it had emotion, it's like you would have a companion, but, like, at what point can you own something?
That's my other point. Like again, that's why I don't want him to.
Want to own it, I would want it to be your friend, know, like roommates. Like, all right, you're bringing in half the
I get that. Dude,
this half of your house is yours. Do whatever you want.
That would be crazy.
Yeah,
but it would start out as, like, you go buy a robot. But, that's what it would start out at. At what point does it become, like, slavery? When do we get into the talks of,
there
like...
There we go.
Or friendship with them.
Equal rights for AI.
And that's when the problems persist and happen.
It would be, like, the Jim Crow shit all over again.
Well, it would be just kind of... Going back into Pluto, the humans, the anti-robot hate group.
At what point do you get a robot version of Martin Luther King, and he's fucking talking about I have a dream, and he really does. You know what I mean? It's his own thoughts.
Well,
they're talking about equality and being treated on equal level as a human.
I wouldn't want to own one.
And then we're talking about jobs. And
then you have a fucking KKK that's out here fucking stringing up robots and shit.
Well,
like, what the... Dude, it would happen all over again.
It will. Yeah, that's been my entire point.
Yeah. And that would then ensue robots taking over the world. We'd have Ultron scenarios going down because...
Possibly.
You know.
I like Bill's automatic answer. That means he wouldn't be one of the robot racists.
I'm not going to be a robot racist because I don't want to own the robot. I'd like to be friends with him. I think it'd be cool to have a robot friend. Be like, oh, man, I got a flat tire. Hey, can you pick up my car so I can change my tire real quick?
Or even go down the path of just like how they have the robot dogs. Like, how fucking cool would that be?
I think that would be dope as shit.
You got a dog that's never going to die on you.
Well, maybe not.
Well, maybe not, like, it's going to live longer than a...
The 20 to 30 years a regular dog will.
You'd be able to pass it on down to your kids, and they could pass it on down to their
dogs
kids.
Dogs don't even live 30 years old, right?
I,
The oldest 18. Dog was like 34. That was one of my Nike's nuggets. I looked it up today. That's the oldest cat
was that what
was
your
like
nugget was today?
No, usually, but where I was looking 15. For him. Huh?
Maybe 15. Yeah. Maybe 15 years.
Well, yeah, that's the average. I like I said, I was just looking up facts because I couldn't find them for the place where I was normally looking. And they had the oldest dog and the oldest cat. And they were neither one of them hit 40.
Because I know Angie's dog is 17 or 18 right now. And he's an old man. He can see it.
Yeah. All right. We're about an hour and 30 minutes. Yeah, go watch Pluto. Check her out. Check out the creator. Start watching all this stuff. It's very relevant to what's happening right now. Yeah. I mean,
first stage.
So, and go to thecomiczone.com, as I said earlier in the show. We got every single episode of the show there, as well as wherever you get your podcasts. You
Spotify
can go,
for
you can
me.
Go stream.
Apple Music for me.
All that stuff. And check out some of our older episodes. We got fucking 150 of them bitches now.
And there's some great episodes in there.
So, yeah. Bill, you were kind of quiet this one, buddy.
Yep. I didn't watch the whole show, so I didn't get too deep into it.
Well, we didn't get too crazy with the spoilers, I hope. I mean,
even with the ones we did, like, yeah, you're
not gonna have any context, so you're not gonna know what the fuck we're talking about anyway. So just go watch the show, check her out, let us know in the comments what you think. And as always, nerds,
stay black and stay nerdy.
Black!